Welcome, everybody, to Post Game Takeaways presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Tyler James. He's the one and only Eric Hansen, and we're in our respective homes before the sun rises to share our post game takeaways from Notre Dame's 49-20 late night butt kicking of Stanford. But first, let me share a word from our friends at Academy Sports and Outdoors. The holiday season is here, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has the legendary gifts you need at undefeatable prices every day. Shop in-store or online at academy.com to save on gifts on everybody's list, from football jerseys and basketball hoops to fire pits and deer stands. The most wonderful time of the year happens here. This Christmas, give the gift of fun from Academy Sports and Outdoors. Eric, this game was so one-sided that even the ESPN broadcasters were seemingly running out of ways to talk about the college football playoff by the end of it. What was your biggest takeaway from Notre Dame's final regular season victory?
Gosh, I wish they had run out of ways to talk about it. I got so sick of it. My biggest takeaway was the way that Marcus Freeman and Jeremiah Love handled the Jeremiah Love injury. And then my other biggest takeaway, and this is what I wrote about for my five thoughts, and I had more than five thoughts, but I limited it to five because that's our format, is I do think there's a higher level for this team. And I'm not basing it on this game. I'm thinking about the pieces they get back for a postseason appearance, whether it be in the Pop-Tarts Bowl or the playoff. I do think it will be the college football playoff. Those were my two biggest takeaways. So other than being very caffeinated.
Yeah, I would say mine was just how Notre Dame's defense continues to set the tone for the games. I mean, granted, Notre Dame's offense came out and played really well to start this game as well, but Notre Dame forced two punts and a fourth down failure on Stanford's first three drives. And when the defense is playing like that, Notre Dame has total control of these games as of late. And I'm sure it's not going to be that easy going into the college football playoff, but Notre Dame has demonstrated the ability to be relied upon defensively, and the fact that they were able to do that from the get-go and weren't caught off guard or anything Stanford was trying to do, I thought really was an impressive thing from tonight's victory.
Well, I'm glad you were impressed. It was just surreal. Not that you shouldn't have been impressed. I don't mean that. You know, I did a post-game show earlier in the evening where we had a lot of fans, you know, chiming in and so forth. And I think the Notre Dame fans, by and large, were happy with it. But this panic about Miami was just overwhelming from some people, and the head-to-head and all this stuff. I'm done with it. Let's just get to the ranking show. But yeah, I mean, there was some good things tonight, but that just, I'm tired of it.
It's going to be a dreadful week.
You even said that. You even tweeted at one point. You said, "I wish I had earplugs for every time the conversation came up."
Yeah.
So, and believe me, people, I mean, we've been up a long time. I mean, it's you guys probably are up for the day. We haven't been to sleep yet. So, and it's not any better. It wasn't any better when we were less caffeinated, believe me.
Yeah. I would encourage folks to find something else to occupy their time this week than to tuning into college football talking heads, talking about the playoff picture, because it's just going to drive you crazy. Miami fans are going to continue to holler, even though they didn't get to the championship game in a conference that has Duke and Virginia playing in it. And there's an outside chance that the ACC doesn't even get anyone in the college football playoff.
There is an outside chance at that. Yeah, I mean, I've made all the arguments about the different ways, and I can see the different points of view. But you lose to two unranked teams, you have to count that in your resume. I mean, you can count the head-to-head too, but you lose to two unranked teams, you don't get to your conference championship game. I don't think you have a real strong argument. you know, that's going to convince the committee anyways.
Yeah,
I'm just assuming that Notre Dame's going to get there. There is a doomsday scenario. The Big 12 championship game is going to matter. The SEC championship is going to matter. I've already done my AP ballot. I haven't turned it in yet. I kept Notre Dame where I had them last week. And really, I think that's the biggest problem for Miami in making a case to climb is not only did the teams between Notre Dame and Miami win, some of the ones just behind Miami, like Vanderbilt, won really impressively over Tennessee. A 3-touchdown victory for Vanderbilt on the road at Tennessee is more impressive than anything Notre Dame and Stanford did Saturday, or Notre Dame and Miami did Saturday. But I mean, I'm not docking Notre Dame on that. It's just, that's where it is right now.
In terms of some things from tonight that I thought were good for Notre Dame, CJ Carr getting back on track. I thought he looked pretty good. He wasn't certainly flawless, but particularly the end of the second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter, I thought he was nails for Notre Dame. He led the 2-minute drill, converted 3 third downs, the last of which was a smart decision to get the ball to Jadarian Price for a 12-yard touchdown. And then he has the 55-yard pass to Jordan Faison to start the third quarter, and then 3 plays later threw the touchdown pass to Faison and made it look easy on the sort of I think it was an RPO throw after a fake to Jeremiah Love. So I think just some reminders of what Carr can do. He hasn't been asked to do a lot, or he wasn't asked to do a lot, certainly against Syracuse. He was asked to do a decent amount against Pittsburgh and did a pretty good job until outside of the interceptions. And so I thought this was a good way to end the regular season for CJ Carr. Certainly they could have come out and just had him throw the ball over the field, but the way Notre Dame's offensive line was blocking and the way the running backs were playing, they didn't necessarily need him to do that tonight.
Yeah. Here's kind of how I look at Notre Dame. I'm going to assume that they're going to end up in the playoff, whether they're the 9 seed or the 10 seed, they're not going to get a home game. There's really no scenario that I can envision that would allow them to move up a spot and get a home game. And right now, the most likely scenario would be Oklahoma. And that's a really good defense. That's a better defense than they've seen in a while, maybe since the very beginning of the season. But Oklahoma's offense isn't very good. What I think is going to be really interesting is if Notre Dame gets back all these really good pieces, how they integrate those, and then also the self-scouting process of, okay, what did teams figure out about us in November? Where can we get better in November? But you think about the pieces that they could get back. As many as 2 starting offensive linemen, they're going to get Billy Shrouth back, I'm pretty confident. They could get Charles Jagas back. You could get Jaden Greathouse back. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. And that's a good red zone weapon. You could get Cooper Flanagan back, a really good blocking tight end. You could get another kicking option back and Noah Burnett, a starting defensive tackle in Gabe Rubio, and a starting safety in Tay Johnson. That's a lot of starters. I mean, that's a lot of quality players to add back into this mix. And I think Notre Dame could use those guys. So again, I thought Notre Dame took care of business. The post game seemed kind of weird. It's the first time Marcus has really addressed the playoff, and I thought he needed to tonight. And I thought he did a good job of, you know, making his case without sounding like a whiner. So I thought he accomplished something good there. But it's not like the committee's taking notes and saying, oh, wow, Marcus made a good case there. Let's move him up a spot.
Yeah, that's one of the things that drives me nuts about the whole process is when Miami moves up, people are like, see, Miami's winning the battle in the media. It's like, well, the media's not even, we're not deciding who's going into the college football playoff to begin with. Like the committee members have too much football to watch and too much other things to digest and listen to what we're saying about the games. I don't buy that at all. And as you mentioned, I think in our Football Never Sleeps show on Monday, that the committee has thought that Notre Dame is better than Miami since it started releasing its rankings. What evidence is there to suggest that Miami is better than Notre Dame, has made improvements that would lead you to put the Notre Dame behind Miami moving forward?
They would have to jump BYU and Alabama as well. Now, Alabama wasn't super impressive, but guess what? They're playing in their conference championship game in a much tougher conference.
Yeah.
And BYU's lost one game. So, I mean, you have to jump those teams too if you're going to jump Notre Dame. So yeah, what about that, Tyler James?
It'll be interesting to see which of those players you rattled off comes back, how much they can impact the team, like what version of Billy Shrouth will Notre Dame be getting, and how much does that help Notre Dame? I think he's Notre Dame's best lineman this season when healthy, and so we'll see if he can get close to healthy and be able to contribute for the Irish in that way. Obviously, Tay Johnson has been a revelation this season, and Notre Dame did fine without him in these past two games, but against better offenses, I think Notre Dame will want him back at the back end of the secondary. Gabriel Rubio was coming on strong this season, and the interior defensive line has handled that. I think that all matters too in judging what this Notre Dame team is how they've handled all that, and the possibilities of what it could be going to the playoff aren't necessarily what the committee should be weighing, but I think that sort of speaks to like what this Notre Dame team is and how it went out and did everything it needed to do in these last 10 games to put itself in a position to make the college football playoff.
I also think, it doesn't sound like Jeremiah Love's injury is serious. The x-rays were negative. They said bruised ribs. I mean, he does have time to heal from that. But the fact that Jadarian Price was effective when he was in there, scored a touchdown. Aeneas Williams scores two touchdowns, 83 yards on 10 carries. I don't think that Jeremiah Love necessarily helped or hurt himself tonight. I don't know that if he rushed for 160 yards against Stanford, that's going to make a difference in what people think about him versus the two Big Ten quarterbacks. But I think he deserves to be invited to New York, and I think he will get invited to New York.
Yeah, I believe Notre Dame about Jeremiah Love. He wouldn't have been back out in that game if it was something serious. But Notre Dame doesn't need to have that as a something to poke a hole in terms of their resume. It's like, well, if they're not going to have Jeremiah Love in the playoff, which that's not what is happening. But I think Notre Dame is fortunate that they don't have to worry about that, because we have seen injuries play a role in college football playoff seedings before. And unfortunately that won't be an issue for Notre Dame. And we're about a week away from finding out what this all looks like, and stop talking about hypotheticals and start talking about the real deal for the playoff. So unless you got anything else to add, Eric, I will get us out of here.
I'm saying tune in at 4:00 Sunday PM Eastern time. If you want to see a grown man eat a giant turkey leg live on the air on our roundtable show, I had pledged to do that when Notre Dame was 0-2. That was my confidence level on them going 10-2. I have a backup turkey leg if the first one fails. I made two of them. So, but I will only be eating one on the air as long as the first one is good.
And that'll be basically breakfast by the time you get to bed and wake up.
It is going to be breakfast.
So enjoy Eric Hansen eating turkey leg breakfast on the staff roundtable show over on the Blue and Gold channel. And we'll be back Monday night with some rest of our own for Football Never Sleeps. We appreciate everyone tuning in. If you have not subscribed to blueandgold.com yet, new subscribers, we've extended the Black Friday deal into Sunday. So take advantage of that. Go sign up, 50% off an annual subscription if you'd like to be a subscriber to blueandgold.com. And thanks for joining us.